got a sprain or an itch.
Welcome to another edition of Hey Doc. I'm Dr. Harold Lasky, Medical Director and Physician at Southside Medical Center, right here in Jacksonville, Florida. I'm your host for the next half hour. With me today is my co-host and wife, Carmen Lasky, a certified EMT. Together, we hope that you will find the show informative, educational, as well as entertaining. In just a couple of hours, most of you within normal listening distance will be hunkering down for the hurricane known as Irma. Many have already gotten supplies and drinking water sufficient for you and your families. But what if you don't have enough water to weather the storm and the aftermath? Where can you find emergency drinking water?
Some of the water sources we are going to mention may be considered as desperate measures, appropriate for people trapped in a building or those whom emergency relief workers have been unable to reach.
First, of course, you can try to see if there's any municipal water supply that's available. Try turning on the tap at a clean sink in a building. After some storms, fires, and even earthquakes, the public water supply may be operating in some areas.
But watch out. Do not assume that municipal water is safe to drink without boiling it or disinfecting it. Until you are told that it's okay, the water supply source, pipes, or other system components may have been flooded and contaminated.
There are many private wells in Jacksonville and the surrounding areas. Do not assume that private well water is sanitary and okay to drink, even after the floodwaters have subsided. If the well and all the water equipment such as water tanks, piping, pumps have been submerged, it's likely that repair and equipment cleansing, sanitizing, are going to be needed. Remember that water from flooded wells is simply not safe to drink.
If an open bottle water is available, it should be safe to drink. But if the bottle were flooded, it will be necessary to clean and disinfect the bottle exterior before opening.
Sealed food containers, such as cans or bottles of juice, soup, fruits, vegetables should contain liquids that are safe to drink, provided you make sure to clean and sanitize the container before opening it.
Condensation of fresh water on cool surfaces has been collected and used as a survival aid in some circumstances.
Do not drink air conditioner condensate, dehumidifier condensate, or humidifier tank water. These usually are contaminated with bacteria.
If you have electrical power and a home water distiller, this equipment can produce a limited quantity of safe drinking water.
Now, camping supplies do provide portable water purification equipment that does not require electrical power, such as pumps using ceramic filters. Be sure the containers used to collect distilled water are sanitary. Now, remember that human urine as a water source for emergency survival has been used by people trapped in mines and has made a life-or-death difference for trapped miners in some instances.
If the disaster period has been brief, then water may be available from melting ice cubes.
Now, neighboring properties, if a close-by neighbor, for example, has a property with safe sanitary drinking water, you may be able to obtain a building water supply from your own home by connecting the two buildings together using a garden hose. But let's talk about outdoor water, such as rainwater and water from the garden hose.
If your rain continues to fall, use a clean container to collect rainwater, possibly from a downspout. But the water should not be considered safe for drinking before it has been sterilized, because it has run over a building rooftop and through a possibly unsanitary gutters and downspouts.
Rooftop water tanks and cisterns can be available, and they're sometimes a good source of potable water. In most cases, as the tanks are more likely to have remained above floodwaters on the taller buildings.
There may be a small volume of water remaining in the bath shower vertical pipe that will drain back through the top spout in the upper level of a building that was not flooded.
You could place a clean container below a clean tub spout and open the diverter that switches water between the tub spout and the shower head. Now, if the shower was last used with the diverter in that position, a small amount of water may remain in the shower pipe. Unfortunately, this is obviously a desperate measure, as the total volume of water in a shower riser pipe will be quite small. Possibly there you could find and drain other building pipes that were above the flood level to find additional water. Now let's talk a little bit about toilet flush tanks, especially those above flood waters, and these can be used. The water in a toilet bowl should be assumed to be contaminated and would need to be boiled and disinfected before any use.
Water heaters can act as a source of emergency drinking water. You may be able to obtain safe water from undamaged water heaters.
Again, undamaged heaters. Some can contain up to or more than 55 gallons, and it may be possible to extract potable water from inside the water tank. But watch out. Never try to drain water from an electric water heater tank without being sure that the electrical power to the unit is off. Also, turn off the fuel and power to gas or oil burners that are used to heat your water.
It will be easier to get water running out of the tank drain near the bottom of the water heater if you can let air into the water tank as water is running out.
Now, this can be accomplished by opening a nearby hot water valve at a fixture higher than the water tank, or by opening the relief valve or the water shutoff valve air bleeder that's on the water tank itself. Be sure that the drain used to remove such water has been cleaned, and that you use a clean container to collect the water. This is important in any case, a clean container. If the water from the tank has been exposed to flood waters but looks clear, remember, it may still be contaminated and it may need to be boiled or disinfected.
While taking potable water out of your water heater tank, do not let contaminated water run into the water heater tank from a contaminated water supply source, such as unsafe municipal or private water wells contaminated by floodwaters. Otherwise, you are contaminating the water heater's water.
This means you want to turn off water entering the water heater at the control valve above the heater. Remember, use the water heater relief valve as an air admittance valve to let air into the heater during draining. And check for leaks or replace the relief valve when later the water heater is restored to service. Don't collect water from a water heater, water pressure tank, or rooftop tank by using a garden hose that was contaminated by floodwaters unless the hose has been properly cleaned and disinfected. It is possible to disinfect a suspect garden hose by filling it with a bleach solution, leaving the hose to sit for 24 hours.
Here is another warning that you may not think about. If your home has been submerged by flooded waters, then its water supply piping, fixtures, faucets, other hose faucets, etc. may have been contaminated by floodwaters.
Those should be sanitized by disinfection before using them for drinking water and before connecting your building to another one for temporary water, since backflow from your building could also cross-contaminate the neighboring building. Now, people may be inclined to drink water from a garden hose for several reasons. It's available, you're hot, outdoors, thirsty, or you're priming a well pump, or even making an emergency water hookup to a neighbor's house, as we discussed before your water supply had been lost.
Remember, don't assume that the interior of a garden hose is sanitary or that water running through an ordinary garden hose is safe to drink. Also, some garden hoses actually contain lead.
Do not drink water from a garden hose unless you know that yours is not a lead-containing hose. I bet a lot of you didn't even know that some of these garden hoses do contain lead. If you're purchasing a new garden hose, check the label. Some garden hose products indicate that the hose is safe for drinking. Others may indicate that the hose should not be used for drinking, and still others simply aren't labeled. We won't know about any chemical or lead hazards from drinking from such a hose without testing it. Now, there are, of course, other problems after hurricanes that are dangerous, and we should be aware of them.
Regardless of which bacteria are being transmitted, most of the post-hurricane and flood illnesses happen as a result of sewage treatment systems and septic systems becoming flooded with water, ruining their ability to filter out animal or human fecal pathogens.
And the advice for avoiding illness is the same across the board. If you have an open wound, you should avoid contact with flood water, if at all possible. because those wounds are susceptible to become contaminated. If you can't avoid it, as soon as possible, make sure you clean and disinfect that wound. Now, wounds can be cleaned with soap and hot water or with hydrogen peroxide. Surfaces such as ones inside flooded homes should always be cleaned with bleach. Well, it's time for our mid-show break. I'm Dr. Harold Lasky with Carmen Lasky, and this is Hey Doc. This is a great time to tell you about Southside Medical Center. I'm Dr. Harold Lasky, and I've been the medical director and physician at Southside Medical Center for the past 29 years. We're located at 3604 Southside Boulevard, just two blocks south of the Beach Boulevard intersection between the Pottsburg Post Office and the Tulsa Welding School. We will treat your pains, sprains, and strains. Our practice emphasizes chronic pain management as well as anti-aging medicine. We also have an office-based substance treatment program for those who need it. Southside Medical Center is open 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. If you would like to make an appointment or ask any questions about Southside Medical Center, please call us at 641-4411. That's 641-4411. Southside Medical Center, where your health is our primary care. Welcome back to the Hey Doc Show. I'm Dr. Harold Lasky with my co-host, Carmen Lasky. In the first part of the show, we talked about some of the emergency measures and how to get water in case of an emergency after the hurricane. Now, there may be a lot of stress, so the rest of the program, we're going to talk about one method to relieve stress. Last year, I gave a series of lectures on mindfulness, which both Carmen and I prepared specifically for our patients who suffered from chronic pain of all types. I received several questions about self-hypnosis during several of those lectures. I had actually studied self-hypnosis on my own during medical school and again several years ago, so I felt comfortable comparing it to mindfulness training. But today, we are going to talk specifically about you, our listeners, and the use of self-hypnosis in your daily lives. I like describing any new techniques with my code word or acronym, W5H. That is, who, what, where, when, why, and how. Let's start with the who. Who should learn self-hypnosis?
Well, anyone who wants to relieve stress, decrease pain, and increase their feeling of well-being. That's all.
Our next letter in W5H is, well, W, which stands for what? The internet often uses acronyms. In this case, they use WTF, but I prefer WTH, meaning what the heck is self-hypnosis? It is... Wait a minute, let's start with what it is not. First, hypnosis is not mysterious. It's also not something from a B-grade movie where you see some wild-haired doctor, not me, usually deranged, again, not me, dangling a pocket watch in the face of some innocent victim.
It is also not a hypnotist on a stage with a dozen or so audience volunteers who are either dancing with brooms or are clacking like chickens. Hypnosis is, first of all, very safe. It can be a very effective way of helping you relax and cope with stress. Let's check out some very common misconceptions about hypnosis. You are not asleep. You are not unconscious. You won't lose control or be under someone's spell. And you won't do anything that you do not want to do.
Hypnosis is simply a deeply focused state that makes you more acutely aware of suggestions and allows you to be more receptive to those suggestions.
Some people are more susceptible to hypnotic suggestion for hypnosis to be as effective for you as possible. Try to adopt a receptive, non-critical attitude. Don't fight the process, just go with it.
If you remain totally skeptical and resistant, not much is going to happen. Have an open mind. Did you know that you most likely have already been hypnotized? Don't believe me? You've probably been in a hypnotic trance many times before. You just didn't realize it. Or you didn't know that's what you had experienced. we slip in and out of hypnotic states all the time.
For example, you have been driving on the highway and it dawns on you that you haven't been paying attention to the road you're driving for the past 5 minutes.
Or you've left the movie theater and realized that your attention was so glued to the screen that you had no idea who was sitting next to you or what was going on around you.
Maybe you have been daydreaming or just lost in thought. You suddenly look at the clock and think with surprise, where did the time go?
In each case, you are in a hypnotic trance. Our next letter W, which stands for where, is easily covered. Since the idea is to relax and decrease stress, it is best performed in a comfortable, quiet area. Maybe in your own home, seated in a comfortable chair, and in a relaxed position if possible.
Unfamiliar areas may add to stress, so choose your place wisely.
The word when comes next. Well, you can practice self-hypnosis any time that you feel that it would be beneficial, such as periods of increased stress or pain. Or you may wish to do self-hypnosis at a specific time each day. I like to do it while watching TV and the commercials come on. Later on, I'm going to tell you about a technique which takes only 15 seconds in order to get into a hypnotic state. We now come to the last two letters of my acronym, W and H. Why and how?
We have already touched on the why, since it is a process where you can help control and lessen your own stress levels, pain levels, and increase your own feeling of well-being at any time of the day, and virtually anywhere that you feel comfortable.
So how do you perform self-hypnosis?
Well, we are going to tell you.
When you're in a trance, you're in a different mental state. You're still awake, and you are still in control.
What really changes is your attention narrows and becomes very focused.
In this mental state, you're more receptive to any suggestions you may give yourself. And during self-hypnosis, you can give yourself some suggestions such as, boy, cigarettes taste like, well, lousy. Or, I'm getting smarter every day. Carmen and I are going to start by teaching you how to induce a light trance.
Find a comfortable position in a quiet, dimly lit room where you won't be interrupted. Relax as much as possible. If you want, take off your shoes and loosen any tight clothing.
Focus on an object across the room. It could be anything. A lamp, a light switch, or even a smudge on the wall. It really doesn't matter.
Just choose an object that is above your normal line of sight so that you have to strain your eyeballs a wee bit looking up to see your spot.
As you continually look at that spot, silently say to yourself, my eyelids are becoming heavier and heavier. My eyelids feel as if heavy weights are pulling them down. Soon, they'll be so heavy that they will close.
Now repeat those sentences to yourself about every 30 seconds.
Focus on your eyelids, and soon you'll notice that, indeed, your eyelids are beginning to feel heavier. Feel this heaviness deepen with time.
Don't fight these sensations. Just let them happen. Let your eyes close when you feel they want to close themselves.
As your eyes begin to close, say to yourself, relax and let go. When your eyes close, take in a deep breath through your nostrils and hold the breath for about 5 to up to 10 seconds. Slowly exhale through your slightly parted lips, kind of making a swooshing sound. At the same time, let your jaw drop and feel a wave of warmth and heaviness spread from the top of your head down your body all the way to your toes.
Continue to breathe slowly and smoothly. As you exhale, silently say the word relax or any other relaxing word to yourself. As you breathe, let the feelings of relaxation deepen for another few moments.
For the first several times that you try hypnosis, well, stop right there. If you don't have success, no problem. It may take several attempts to get comfortable with the procedure. Don't despair. Later you can continue and go a little deeper into the self-hypnosis. So after you're able to induce a light trance, you're ready to move on into a deeper state of hypnosis.
Take a deep breath and hold it for about 5 to 10 seconds.
Exhale slowly through your lips while saying the word deeper to yourself. Continue this process. Breathe in, hold your breath, and exhale several times.
Imagine that you are stepping onto a descending escalator. A long, slow escalator that will take you into a state of deeper relaxation.
As you begin your descent, silently say to yourself, I'm sinking slowly into a deeper state of relaxation. As you descend, count backwards on each exhalation from 10 to 1.
When you reach the bottom of the escalator, imagine that you are stepping off this escalator and are stepping onto a second descending escalator.
As you imagine your descent, deepen your trance with each breath, again, counting backwards. Continue to deepen your trance until you feel that you've reached a comfortable level of relaxation.
Once you are feeling relaxed, at any time, you can also give yourself a suggestion that can extend this relaxation beyond the trance state.
To do this, say to yourself, when I reach one, my eyes will open, and I will feel totally awake and refreshed. And then count down from 5 to 1. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You will notice as you count, your eyes begin to flutter and partially open as you approach 1.
Don't be worried if any of the first or even several sessions, nothing happens. This is common, not unusual. Eventually, you will have success and be able to relieve your stress and even decrease pain levels any time during the day.
But you might be telling yourself, this takes too long. I am simply not willing to try something that may take days or weeks to be successful. Isn't there a faster way to do this?
Well, there probably is, and I'll call it the 15 seconds to stress reduction program. First, get comfortable loosening your clothing such as ties, belts, and shoes.
Find a comfortable position, sitting upright, put your feet flat on the floor, and place your hands in your lap without your fingers touching.
Take a slow, deep breath while mentally counting 1, 2, 3. Hold your breath for just a few seconds and release your breath in a sigh. Feel the stress leaving your body. While your eyes are open, roll your eyes up as if looking up into your own forehead.
Your eyes will begin to get tired. Try not to close the eyelids. Do this for as long as you can.
Finally, close the eyelids slowly, but try to keep your eyes looking up. You may feel your eyelids fluttering. This is fine. Very common again. No problem.
Now try to imagine that your eyelids are stuck together as if they are glued closed.
I would like to remind our listeners that if you or a loved one has epilepsy or other seizure disorder, ALS, cancer, Crohn's disease, glaucoma, HIV, AIDS, chronic muscle spasms, multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's disease, PTSD, or a terminal illness, you may be able to obtain medical marijuana in the state of Florida. I am one of the physicians in Duval County that is certified to recommend medical marijuana to qualified patients. For more information, you can call our office at 641-4411. We've also set up a website for our Medical Marijuana Society at www.medmarsoc.com. That's www.